John Gambling with special co-host Mayor Michael Bloomberg on News Talk Radio 710 WOR. Now, here are John Gambling and Mayor Michael Bloomberg.
Hello and good morning, everybody. 9 minutes after 8 o'clock in the morning here on the John Gambling Show. Mr. Mayor, good morning to you. Good Happy morning. Hanukkah. Merry Christmas.
Kwanzaa, yeah, Christmas, and all that. Hanukkah. And if you don't celebrate anything, it's a nice time of the year.
It's fantastic. It doesn't get any better.
This has been an unbalanced good year. There's certain some people that it didn't share, some people that got hurt. Nothing's ever perfect. But we've come through a year. City is stronger than it was before. We've got this Cornell, the Technion thing going, and do some more of that. Tourism record, schools getting better, second lowest murder rate we've ever had, lowest for fires and deaths by fires and transportation. I mean, a lot of good things, and, we've got a budget to balance. I saw the independent budget office said that we're too conservative in our estimates. Well, I'd rather be too conservative than too aggressive, but you know, it'd be nice if they're right. I don't know that's the case. So far, our tax revenues are where we projected them, but if it's less, in any case, whether we have another billion or more to balance, we still have budget problems. The financial industry, which we're a lot less dependent on than we were 10 years ago, but
which
still
is a good thing, actually.
It's a good thing. But they're cutting back, but some of those jobs are being replaced by other jobs. Having said that, the jobs that get cut back tend to be the higher salary jobs, where the people pay more taxes than the lower salary jobs, where they pay less taxes. So the impact of, even you know, if you swap one job for another, it still hurts our budget. But we're chugging along. Sad news, cop killed last week. Very sad.
But that balanced, as all life does, is balance itself out with, 1,500 cops?
1,500 class? New cops yesterday, yep. Coming from, I think it's 58 different countries they were born in, speaking something like 65 different languages.
Really? Well, isn't that interesting?
The diversity of our police department is quite mind-boggling. One of the reasons crime keeps coming down, because the public sees somebody that they have something in common with, they think understands them and probably does understand them. Another sad thing is this morning, right after this, I'm going to the funeral for a sanitation worker who had a heart attack and died. On balance, it's been a good year, and it's given us, I think, the building blocks to make next year even better.
I thought you were going to add possibly to your list of things that were good news is the fact that there's no snow in the forecast for this Christmas weekend.
No snow. There's a big snowstorm in Georgia, though. It's good. This actually, it's really important, no snow this weekend, because of the way that Christmas falls and the holiday. People will shop on Monday. People will shop on Saturday. It'd be nice if we didn't have a snowstorm. Was there one last year at Christmas time?
I vaguely remember something
about
that. I do, too.
Something like that. I don't know.
Jets and Giants, speaking of exciting.
I'm going to go, and I've...
You've got a very busy sporting weekend.
I do. Youngest daughter wants to go. I don't know whether she roots for the Jets or the Giants, but I'm taking she and her boyfriend.
And what side of the stadium will you be sitting on?
It's the...
Or you will be straddling...
It's a home game for the Jets.
Correct.
So I'll sit on the Jets side. But, you know, listen, one of the first football games I ever went to was a Baltimore Colts, New York Giants
game. That means
game.
You're for the Jets.
No, I'm for New York. I'm not stupid enough to do that. I've got a bigger problem, a conflict on Sunday.
On Sunday, because Boston.
I grew up as a Celtics fan. As I said yesterday, none of the players that I followed are still playing. They're my age.
No.
Kind of out of it. But I would love to see a good high-scoring game. I like that. And I hope that the Knicks, all kidding aside, have a great season. I was in Madison Square Garden yesterday for the police graduation, and you can see the beginnings of their renovation.
Yeah, the rehab.
It's a three-year project, and this is just really the first of three steps. But from what I could see, it looked great. And if the Rangers and the Knicks have a good season, it's good for the economy, good for New York, and it's exciting. I like the games.
There you go. Well, you're going to have, as I say, busy. Weather looks pretty good for that Jets-Giants game, 1 o'clock on tomorrow, Saturday.
1 o'clock Saturday, and the Knicks-Celtics at noon on Sunday.
Let's see here. Where do we want? Well, you mentioned it, so let's talk some more about the Cornell Technion deal that you've been able to put together. I was talking
about... Bob Steele and Seth Pinsky did it. Their idea, and they put it together. They deserve all the credit. And
I will tell you, it's a fantastic thing, and it is something that we haven't seen in this city in a long, long time. Well, this sort of far-reaching and far-looking and far-thinking.
You know, the campus will be built out over 30 years. Having said that, included in their proposal, they're going to start teaching in 2012. Now, they'll have to rent some space to do it, and it'll be small scale. But, you know, Cornell's bid was really phenomenally well put together. I got a kick out of it on Friday when Stanford withdrew, and we said to them, let's spend the weekend trying to paper the deal, as it's called, right? Because we actually have contracts with performance things. They have to have X number of students and Y number of teachers and Z number of square feet by this date, that date, going forward, and there's real penalties if not. This is not, we're putting $100 million of city money in. And
it's not just a maybe.
Not just a maybe. That's, you know, and that was with some of the others. They said, well, you know, we're not sure. And you can't run a railroad that way, as you'd say. But on Fridays, we told them that. So Saturday and Sunday, Seth and Bob got all the paperwork done. I signed the papers on Monday morning. And we did a presentation in a room at Cornell's hospital here. And they had a video already done by Skidmore Owens of a campus. Now it's just, you know, a concept, and it won't be exactly like that.
But they
that.
Had people walking down the path.
And a water taxi coming on. They were so, you know, it was so professional. And I think what it shows is Cornell, David Skorton is the president, and these people know what they're doing. They know how to raise money. Chuck Feeney gave them $350 million, nice gift, and they'll raise a lot more. I think it's good for Ithaca, actually, because the more Cornell gets visibility, the more the undergraduate and graduate schools up in Ithaca will benefit from that. It's a win-win for everybody. And bringing the Technion in is a very big deal, because the whole idea of this is to generate jobs. And the Technion has three Nobel Prize winners on their faculty.
I was going to say, they are globally recognized.
There are more Israeli companies listed on NASDAQ than European companies. And also, you got to be careful. And when you're talking about technology, it's not just social media. That's what all of a sudden everybody's thinking, oh, tech is social media. It is, but it's biotech, and it's a whole bunch of things. It's process controls.
Battery technology.
There's just so many different components to it. And Cornell on the medical side and the Technion on the entrepreneurial side really make a great partnership. And that was Cornell's doing of bringing in the Technion, not us. We didn't tell them to do
did
that.
Did the city give the land, or did you rent it?
I think we technically give it to them. Mm-hmm. There is a hospital there, which we are moving to North General, which is about 125th Street on the west side, someplace up in that area.
This is on the north end of Roosevelt.
No, it's just to the south of the bridge.
Where the old ruins are?
That ruins would be further south. If you start from the very south, there's the new Four Freedoms Memorial to Roosevelt being built. Then there's the old smallpox hospital, the skeleton of that still there. Someday we've got to get some money and try to preserve that. Then from there all the way up to the bridge is right now Goldwater Hospital, and the people are being moved over to a brand new hospital up in Harlem. That's been in the works for a while, and it's about a year away from being finished. It's on schedule and be fine. Then we'll take down those buildings. We've already done borings to ascertain that the land is not polluted under it. Some people said, oh, you'll have big environmental things. No, because nobody ever built industry
wasn't much
on
there, right?
Right. That's so we didn't expect it, and we checked, and it's not there. But that's where Cornell will build. And then you will just walk literally a few feet under the bridge, you get onto the tram, or go into a subway, or go slightly to the east, and you get on a bridge over the Long Island City, which is going to be one of the hottest neighborhoods. I mean, it's growing leap and bound now. This will really add to it.
That's really quite something. Now, you mentioned...
And for the people on Roosevelt Island, this is a godsend, because one of their problems is they don't have big enough critical mass to support the stores that they'd like to have.
Grocery.
This will help that.
I've got very good friends that live over there, and I know all about it, and you're absolutely right. They don't have the
right
services.
Cornell, just to show you how... I don't know if they talk to every person that lives on Roosevelt Island, But they went out and they talked to as many as they could possibly find, every legislature. They really did their homework.
Tell me about, because I was wondering, I saw it the other day, I was going up the FDR Drive and saw that the construction on the southern part of Roosevelt Island, that's a monument?
That is what's called the Four Freedoms Memorial, monument to basically to FDR. And I gather there'll be a statue of him. I think this is a statue that was a little bit controversial because Roosevelt, near the end of his life, was wheelchair-bound, had polio. And in those days, the press didn't report it, and Roosevelt never wanted anybody to see him on crutches or in a wheelchair, and so it was very carefully orchestrated. Now, can you imagine today's?
Are you kidding?
Couldn't do that. And I think the statue shows him in a wheelchair,
right.
and some people didn't like that, or maybe it doesn't, and some people didn't like it, but whatever, it was controversial. And then it's a memorial funded privately, and Vanden Heuvel is the guy, the chairman of it, and he's...
Is the Delacourt Fountain still operational? Do you know? It was right off the tip there back probably 20 years ago, and it was a fountain that just spewed water up.
I think that's where this is.
Mm-hmm. I think you might be right.
Yeah.
Same neck
but
of the
woods. It has the advantage of being separate from Manhattan and Queens, but being part of Manhattan and Queens. Technically, Roosevelt Island is part of Manhattan, but the communications and the distance and the views gives you the best of all possible worlds. But, you know, this is only one part of it. We're still in negotiations, and hopefully we'll be able to come up with something by second week in January, thereabouts, with NYU and Carnegie Mellon and Columbia still have proposals.
To do additional.
Separate things. I think they mostly would be in Brooklyn, but separate things, different focus, different scale, different monetary needs. You can't have too much. And all of this is really very good for the New York schools. NYU Poly, great university and engineering school they've taken over and really doing wonderful things with. Columbia is building, as you know, going north from their campus and uptown. Fordham is just knocking the cover off the ball. There are schools like Cooper Union, which are having monetary problems, but Cooper Union is one of the great engineering schools in the world. People don't recognize it because it is small. All of this, it's like technology. It feeds on itself. People want to be where others doing the same thing are. There's cross-pollinization, there's the opportunity to switch jobs, all of those kinds of things. And so it's very hard to get going, but once you get it going, then it sort of builds on itself.
I've always wondered why the furniture people, the sell furniture, are all in one area. District is in one place.
You know, the market tells you this is what you want to do. It's hard. What New York really has is, I keep saying this, New York is the intellectual capital of the country and perhaps the world. And so if you want to do something in addition to your job, this is the place to be. And you can see that in some places. A lot of high-tech companies are moving from Palo Alto, which is a great place to live. It's beautiful countryside, nice people, great weather. But if you want other things, it's basically a college town. And so a lot of people are moving to San Francisco. And here you're already in the city. If you want to go to the theater, we have the theater. If you want to go to be involved in fashion, this is where it is. If you want to, you know, go and have a book review party or something, you know, everything is here. And so it's great for these universities. I think this is a just brilliant move on the part of Cornell for being so aggressive. And congratulations to winning it. And we didn't go in thinking that day one, I don't think anybody thought they would be the winner. That was just not the political zeitgeist day one.
That's why you have competition.
And I think the other schools all of a sudden kept saying to them, nobody's got a lock. Everybody's got a chance to compete and compete equally. And they did.
Sounds good. All right, Mr. Mayor, sit tight. Let me take a break right here. Brief one.
Our ace duo tells us 99-year lease with an option to purchase for $1.
Okay, that's what I figured. There's probably something like that. Thank you, Mr. Lozier. Thank you very much. 23 minutes after 8 o'clock. Stu, the mayor, and I will be back in just a moment.
Mayor Michael Bloomberg on the John Gambling Show. News Talk Radio 710 WOR.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas.
Friday before Christmas, here with Mayor Michael Bloomberg on the John Gambling Show, 26 just minutes after 8 o'clock. I should remind you, I was remiss, I did not. If you would have got a question for the mayor, 800-321-0710. Get in line early, otherwise you don't get there, 800-321-0710. Let's talk about the taxi deal. There was a lot of noise, took a long time,
It didn't. It took 3 decades until this year, and then in all fairness, the mayor and the governor and the speaker of the assembly and the leader in the Senate and lots of community input.
You got what you wanted, I know.
Pretty much everybody got what they wanted. It's not going to hurt the yellow industry, quite the contrary. It'll be more business in that industry. There'll be more cabs, and they'll all be handicap accessible. For the livery cabs, who have been, a lot of them, picking up illegally, now all of a sudden they'll be able to do it legally. Some people say not enough, but there'll be 18,000 over a period of time. And once this gets going, I think the pressure to do more faster will be there. For 3 decades, Koch said he tried, Lindsay tried, every mayor tried, and could not get this done. It's done. And, you know, people try to say, well, is it your bill or the governor's bill? Who did it? Everybody did it. I mean, we announced back in January at the State of the City speech last year, this is what we're going to do, Everybody said impossible. Done. And the governor deserves some credit, but so does Shelley, so does Dean, so does David Yaskey, the commissioner.
I spoke with him this week.
Lots of people. Matt Saplin, our commissioner who died for, commissioner of department for people with disabilities. And yeah, he had a lot of input in this, too. So everybody, people say, well, what about this? What about that? Small things. Come on. Let's get serious. For 3 decades, it couldn't get done, and now with this administration in Albany and this administration in City Hall, it got done. Enough.
Tell me about what's been written about the tension between the state and the city, whether that's Cuomo and Bloomberg, I'll leave it to you, over this Emblem Health situation. And
I said back when people kept asking about the taxi bill, the governor assured me it was going to get done, and he delivered. I've said the city has no interest in stopping the governor from getting $1 billion for the state budget, because that's what would come out of selling, at least that's the theory.
The Emblem Health.
The Emblem Health. If the state doesn't do well, then the city gets screwed. So we're in this together. He's got to worry about 18 million people. I got to worry about 8 million people. Our concern in the city is simply the cost of health care, because most of our municipal workers, the health care that they get is provided by Emblem. And we want to make sure that this doesn't increase our health care costs. It could go up by $300 million. It was one estimate made back in 2006, I think, a one-time increase, and then it would go on from there. So we, along with all the municipal unions, the MLC, Municipal Labor Council, are talking, and we're working with the governor or his staff, and everybody wants to have a battle. Democracy is about working together, and not everybody gets 100%, everybody gets some, and that's what it should be. And that's the way I think this will come out that way. They cannot sell Emblem without the city agreeing to stay for a while, at least. Nobody guarantees forever, and we don't have any interest in stopping it. We will find some ways, I'm convinced. And, you know, my reports of people between the city staff, Municipal Labor Council, and the governor is all positive. Everybody seems to be working.
All right, but the Emblem, there would be no Emblem if it weren't for the city and,
well,
and its employees.
We are, 40%, 50%. Right. We're far and away their biggest customer.
Right.
If we didn't exist, they would still exist, but they would be worth a lot less in the marketplace. So that's why everybody cares. And nobody is going to buy Emblem unless they talk to the city. They have to do due diligence. And the city says, we don't have any immediate plans to go away. And I can't guarantee anything for more than 2 years, but if it looks like a good deal for the city, or the city doesn't get hurt, because we do get benefits when the state gets money, because it stops them from cutting us back. We're going to be there, and I think that's the way it'll work out. Is the deal done yet? No, that's what you work on.
Before I take a break, one final question on the taxi deal. When will it start? Is there a day when this kind of kicks in and
yeah,
begins?
Sometime early in this coming year.
12.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, this first there's a schedule of, 12, so. Of, and then there's an not an environmental thing, a plan we have to have for more disabilities, but more handicap accessible for people who we. It has to do not with people with disabilities. It has to do with people who are wheelchair. Bound, because that's where you need the extra space.
Will Accessoride stay or go, as far as you
know? Accessoride is an MTA thing that cost them a lot of money, and we've said repeatedly, if the MTA can use taxis, you know, you give somebody a voucher, it's a $20 taxi ride, whereas it cost a fortune to send a big van. That gets tied up with, there's a whole other group of people who work there and that sort of thing.
Yeah, no, nothing's easy, is it? Nothing's
no,
simple.
But that's why...
That's why it's a big city.
Yeah, and that's why all this progress that we're making is good.
Mayor Michael Bloomberg will be here, and he will field some of your questions if you've got them. 800-321-0710 before we finish up. 8:32 in the morning. Let's let Joe Bartlett in here for a little bit more news.
John Gambling and Mayor Mike on News Talk Radio 710 WOR.
Frosty's not going to be too happy this year. Boy, I got to tell you, the ski areas, you've seen the pictures of no snow.
Yeah.
Christmas week. Fortunately, you don't have to worry about ski mountains, right? I don't think there are any tails in New York, are there?
I don't think
so. They talked about Staten Island building one once over on the...
You could build a ski jump, because they can make artificial snow
correct,
for that.
Right.
There's good cross-country when there is snow on the ground.
City golf courses allow that?
Yeah, I think so.
Central Park, I know I've seen people
yeah,
there. Yeah,
in all the parks, Prospects and the big parks. That's tough work. Do you ever go cross-country skiing?
Look at me.
You
got to
be in good shape.
What kind of a question is that? The answer is no.
I did a little bit of it. It's a lot of work. Downhill skiing's a lot easier. Let gravity do the work.
Exactly so. Speaking of work, I read that the city has committed, and I understand why, one of our water tunnels is in really bad, well, really bad is my word, not yours. But
well, it leaks millions of gallons a day.
The Delaware Aqueduct.
Right. Having said that, millions of gallons is millions in the context of billions that go through it, so. But the problem we have is that it's leaking and it could get worse. And so there's two places. One we can fix, we think, from inside the tunnel. It's amazing, the technology. Another one, we have to build a bypass around. Starting to start 2013, finish 2017, I think. Mm. Cost a couple $1 billion. But, you know, that's what you pay your water rates sure. for, to make sure we have a very dependable source of clean water. We buy an awful lot of land around the reservoirs in upstate
to protect
them, keep them wild, keep them pristine, and I think you can fish and boat in them and that sort of thing, but basically it's to keep them from being developed, and it's good for the upstate people and good for good for the city.
Yeah, the water system is one of those modern marvels kind of thing. You know, it's just amazing the way it works. I remember you and I talking over the last years. I don't know exactly how to quantify it, about the actual water metering and the revenues to the
yeah. I think
city.
A lot of that's
has that been pretty much
yeah,
taken
I
care of.
Yeah, I think a lot of that's in. We have this network which we put in. People said, what are you going to use it for? There's all sorts of things. You don't recognize how much information goes back and forth, and that's the way of tomorrow. Incidentally, needless to say, Stu Lozier has come through again.
I told you, there's the three of us.
You know, when out-of-borough taxi permits first in June, we think.
Okay. There you go.
Something like that.
He's the answer, man. He's the computer.
He's right? Running back and forth.
Exactly so. The living wage bill, is that alive? I mean, I know Bill de Blasio and some others have talked about it, the city council. I know where you stand on it. You don't think it's a very good idea. But is that dead, alive?
No, I think It's in the city council. This is a city council bill. Not been brought to the floor yet. And, you know, there's a lot of conflicting interests. People want to make sure that everybody can share in the great American dream. On the other hand, the marketplace moves things to the best for the provider and for the customers. And so the worrisome is if you try to manipulate the free market, businesses will move or businesses just won't start or whatever. And we'll see. Sorry.
Bless you. That's all right. You were talking before about the taxi bill and everybody working together, and that there are, you know, usually it's compromised to get to a place. What'd you make of this foolishness in Washington with over the
I thought
payroll
the Wall Street,
deduction?
The Wall Street Journal wrote a great editorial. Paul Gigot is a very smart guy who runs the editorial page of the Journal. And he had an editorial a couple days ago. I mean, how could the Republicans, whose basic concept is reduce taxes and downsize government, how could they find themselves on the wrong side of that, refusing to do it? I don't know that it was John Boehner. I think it was some of the more radical members. And listen, a leader of any legislative body's got people from all sides of the spectrum, and you got to listen to them and try to find some balance there too. But in the end, they did the right thing, do the 2-month extension. But then there's going to be a real battle.
I was just going to
bring
that up.
And that's, you know, this just kicks the can down the road. But they got themselves outfoxed on the wrong side of the, they got boxed in. And Boehner cut his losses, which is supposed to keep winning them all. Come on.
Exactly so. So we're into the presidential thing. It should be interesting to watch who comes out on the GOP side.
You know, still, I mean, you see a poll every day, put somebody else in Ron Paul and Newt Gingrich and Mitt Romney. I ran into Mitt Romney the other day. He was going on Morning Joe, and I had done the show earlier. And we chit-chatted a little bit. I've known him casually for a long time. Can't tell you well, but casually.
All right. I have here a story about New York City's rent control laws going to be heard by the Supreme Court. Do you know anything about
that?
Yeah,
I've only what I read in the paper. There is the argument that if the government decides that somebody has to subsidize somebody else, it's not appropriate. That if the government wants to subsidize, they should do it, but not have a particular group in the private sector do it.
A la the landlords.
The landlords in this case.
Discounting.
Right. You know, a guy owns a piece of property, says, can't I rent it at market rates? It's mine. You're taking something of value from me. Now, the other argument is we want to make sure we preserve lots of affordable housing. Rent control isn't really the issue here. The number of rent controlled apartments is very small. It's rent stabilized. It sounds like
the
same thing.
Which is not part of this?
I don't know which suit this is for one or the other.
This is control, not
could
subsidy.
Whether it applies, you have to look at the law. But that's the basis of the argument, is to whether the government can have force one group to subsidize another. And it's the same thing, or a similar kind of thing, as with health care. You know, you can argue both sides, which is, should the government require people to purchase insurance? I can tell you, if they don't have insurance, they show up at the hospitals. We're not going to let them die, so the public pays that way. So it's really a question of how you allocate the costs, and there are strong feelings on all sides of this. And healthcare is much more complex than this, because there's so many different things. There's lots of unintended consequences. If you reduce your expenses, that sounds like a good idea, but it may be the drug companies may not do the research to come up with the next great drug. Doctors may choose other fields because they can't make enough a living and can't pay back all their loans to go to school. Become a doctor, yeah. 10 years of education.
Minimum.
Easy.
Yeah.
And to be board certified more, and some specialties even more than that. And then we say, oh, it costs so much. Yeah, but that's how you got there.
As a man that is hands-on when it comes to government and expenses and all of that, somehow have been very successful where others have failed. This is my view now, of cutting expenses, of actually going to your departments and say, everybody's getting a 5%, 6%, whatever number it is, whack. How come that isn't seemingly impossible at a state level or at a federal level?
I can't talk about anybody else. I can tell you what we do. We set some goals, and then I listen to everybody. I basically hold harmless. A four-person department is not going to be able to cut 5%. Come on, that just can't be done. And if it's a three-person department, if you had to cut a person, you're out of business. On the other hand, our priorities are making sure we have enough police on the streets to keep us safe and protect us from terrorism. You're going to say, how much is enough? That's the problem. You never know. We want to make sure there's enough firefighters and ambulances to respond in an emergency. How many? Look, if you had a firehouse on every block and an ambulance standing by at every corner, you'd be safer, but we can't afford that. So what's the balance between? Teachers. We cannot get enough math and science teachers. Have been able to attract a lot of teachers because the school system really is getting better. Having said, and we've raised teachers' salaries 105%, much more than that by now. So we're now competitive. You don't hear teachers leaving to go to Nassau County, which they were doing before. But, you know, the future of our city is in the quality of the teachers. And, you know, how many snow plows do you have standing by? How often should you pick up the garbage or sweep the streets? And so I sit down with each of the agencies, and really Mark Page, our Office of Management and Budget, really does a lot of it, with, you know, a lot of help from Bob Steele and Kaz Holloway and everybody else.
Is the motivator, besides being intellectually honest, to go to your budget, but you're by law required to balance the budget, right?
Well, by law, we have to balance the budget. So everybody says, oh, you talked about big deficits, but the budget was balanced. Yes. We have no choice but to balance the budget. The question is, do you raise revenue or do you reduce expenses or do you do both? Revenue enhancements that I think are appropriate. Fines. If we're trying to keep you from doing something, you don't have to pay the fine. Just don't do the event, what we're trying to outlaw. So that's, I look at it differently. Some people wouldn't, but I think that's differently than taxes. Some taxes you have not just for revenue, but to encourage or discourage certain kinds of activities. We want to encourage nationwide home building, so we give a deduction for interest on mortgages. The revenue's nice. If we could, would have been nice if we could keep it. But in that case, we gave you a break because we want to encourage that. On the other hand, we want to discourage certain things, so we raise taxes there. But we worked with everybody in each of the agencies, and they make their submissions, and then we sort of negotiate, and I sit down and listen. And you listen to the police commissioner, the fire commissioner.
Should there be a national law to balance the budget, or would that be, would that,
you know,
hamstring?
The federal government's different. They can print money.
So it doesn't matter.
I don't know that it doesn't matter long term. If you keep printing money, you debase your currency. Although the argument is, if you debase the currency, you can pay back the deficit a lot with cheaper dollars. But the state is different because they run on a cash basis. So you got to be careful with their accounting. It's not that it's fraudulent. It's just different. So if they don't, for example, the last 2 months of their fiscal year, they don't send out any checks, they're in balance. The city, the way the city's books have to be kept by law, we get caught, we have to count those expenses whether we mail the checks or not. It is just very different.
So by just not paying the bills for a month or two,
that doesn't work for the city. But the bottom line is, it's an awful lot of work from all the agencies, and this year we've just cut another $1.5 to $2 billion, depending on how you measure it, over the next year and a half, and we're going to have to find a ways to do more if the Congressional Budget Office, or IBO, Intimate Budget Office, is right, and we have less of a deficit. That'll be great, but we're not going to know in advance, and we're going to take the steps before. We don't want to be in trouble and have to panic down the road. It better be on the conservative side and be surprised pleasantly than to do the reverse.
All right, Mr. Mayor, let me take another break. Final one this hour, and I see that we have one line open. You might as well take a crack at it. If you've got a question for Mayor Michael Bloomberg, 800-321-0710, 321-0710. 9 minutes before 9 o'clock.
Mayor Michael Bloomberg with John Gambling on News Talk Radio 710 WOR.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful.
Well, fortunately, the weather outside is not so frightful for me before 9 o'clock in the morning. Let's go to the phones, and we're going to start with Mike. Mike, you got the mayor. Go. Hello, Mike.
Mike disappeared.
Mike did disappear. All right, well, why don't we try Eddie in the Bronx. Eddie, it's your turn. Go ahead.
Yes, hi, Your Honor.
Hi.
I'm a retired firefighter, and my car broke down not too long ago, and I had my 5-year-old daughter on one of the MTA buses in the Bronx here, and there was a gentleman on the bus with his pants down, I mean really grossly down. So what I had to do was, because his crotch was in my daughter's face, I had to stand up and whisper sweet nothings in his ear, and he promptly moved to the rear of the bus.
All right. Well, I don't want to say all's well that ends well, but Eddie, cool. I will say, thank you very much. I will say, in my generation, in John's generation, I don't know about you, but probably yours as well, we did not wear our pants hanging down, and why some of these kids do it, I don't know. Every once in a while, you read about a judge in a courtroom that says, hike your pants up, kid. Yeah. I always think to myself, good for you, judge. Although I'm sure there's somebody that's going to send a nasty letter or make a phone call, or it's a fine balance. You know, people should be allowed to dress the way they want. On the other hand, there are decency standards that the courts have upheld. You can't walk around naked, and how close this is to that, I don't know. It's just one of those things, Eddie. I wish. Hopefully, you're.
Eddie took care of it all by himself.
Yeah, I mean, it also sounds to me like Eddie's smart enough to make sure his daughter isn't traumatized by it. The kid's probably lucky to have Eddie as a father, and she's going to turn out fine, too. And she'll probably come home one day with green hair, as one of mine did.
That's life, right?
And you get through it. Everybody knows that with kids. Anyways, Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Yeah, good luck. Jerry in Staten Island, what's your question for Mayor Michael Bloomberg?
Hey, Merry Christmas, gentlemen, and a happy Hanukkah.
And to you.
What's your question, Jer?
The question, the answer is with the transit on the MTA, with the transporting the elderly.
Accessoride, yep.
Yes, I'm sorry. And with the new law signed by the governor, I think the taxi cabs can now just pick up these people and so.
Yeah, Jerry, you're 100% right. What the yellow cabs have been able to do it because what we've done as a pilot is given a credit card used only on taxis and where you check to make sure it's not used for other things anyways to people, and they could take yellow cabs instead, and it's a lot cheaper for the public, for the MTA, and whoever, taxpayer in the end that pays the bills. Now with this bill, they'll be able to use the livery cabs as well, because remember, the livery cabs under this deal are going to have the same GPS, so if you lose your luggage, we can find it again. If we want to see where there are traffic jams and where things could be made better, and you can measure trips and that sort of thing. So Accessoride will be better, and you'll be able to use the livery cabs just the way you've suggested, the same ways we've been in this pilot program using yellow cabs. It is a good idea. It reduces costs.
You got any tweets today? Because we only had about 45 seconds. And I was just wondering if maybe you...
Resources. Somebody's asking about small business owners in struggling neighborhoods. I was today at the opening of the opening of a Shake Shack, and 45 odd people got their jobs through our training. They've done very well. Almost all the staff are local people who got their training through our small business initiative. We've reduced the amount of time it takes to get all the inspections and all that sort of stuff. So really are making progress.
All right, Mr. Mayor, happy Hanukkah, and enjoy your family and the sporting events this weekend.
Yeah, I will. Just remember, Thomas Lerman was the sanitation guy who died. I'm going to his funeral. Prayers for him would be nice. Merry Christmas, happy Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, everything to everybody.
We'll see you next week. See you next week, just before New Year's. Mayor Michael Bloomberg this morning on the John Gambling Program. Thank you, sir. Always enjoy it very much. We've got an hour to go. Don't